Welcome to Starfield Universe Encore. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I'm an SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just when Minor House joins us with a talk guest every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions, call ID 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the talk's website at www.talkshoe.com. Search for calling 17702 or Starfleet Universe call or SFU on call. You should be able to find us there. Now, if you want the best online experience, what you want to do is you want to go to twitch.tv. That's twitch.tv/SFU on call, and you will find us there. And if you're here during the night that we're broadcasting, streaming, then you will find us and you'll be able to chat with us and you'll be able to watch my lovely face. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on the Twitters, my podcasting account is sfuoncall. Personal account is Paul Franz, PaulFranz. There's no T in that. And of course, also Franz Games, FranzGames. Again, there's no T in that, of course. I'm also part of Blue Sky. Yes, Blue Sky. If you want to follow the podcasting account, it's sfuoncall.bsky.social. And if you want to follow the business/personal account, that's friendsgames.com. And of course, the lovely talkcast gets into a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from AB this week, of course, is just a continuation of what I mentioned last week. And if for those of you who didn't listen last week, or listening at least early enough to take advantage of this, which is AB is having a 14% off everything online sale. And that goes from February 7th, which of course today is February 13th, so that's past. But the end of it is February 16th. So if you watch this early enough, you will be able to take advantage of that 14% off everything on the online store. Moving on, AV also had Jean doing some proofreading of the Orion Master Starship book because she was stuck at home because of the ice in Amarillo. Always crazy. And Steve was busy with Operations No Quarters. Basically, he was cleaning out his house and throwing out stuff, which is only reason I even mentioned it here was just because I encourage every single one of you to go through the stuff in your house. If there's stuff that you have that, I'll use that sometime in the future. Have you used it in the past 10 years? If you haven't used it in the past 10 years, get rid of it. Either give it away, give it to Goodwill or some other charity, or throw it out. You don't need it. And trust me, if you're older like me, your kids, after you die, will appreciate it greatly. Just a reminder that. Moving onward and forward, when it comes to found the online store, this week we have Galactic Conquest Rulebook, which is only $19.95. Actually, it's cheaper. It's like $17 now because of the 14% off sale. So if you jump on it, you can get it immediately. This newly updated 5th edition of the most famous campaign rules in the Starfleet universe. Use these rules in the official campaigns or build your own campaign, including this everything, conquests, exploration, alliances, diplomacy, construction, technology development, ships, bases, and 1,000 more things. The campaign system is designed to use with Starfleet battles. Then you might work with other game systems if you go to some effort and assumes that you either create your own map or use a map provided by the campaign game masters. This new edition includes an extensive index, make it easy to track down exactly what you want to know. And I'm willing to bet you dollars to donuts that you can also find that on the e-tailers, you know, the Warehouse 23, the Drive-Thru RPG, and War Game Vault. I'm willing to bet you find an e-copy of that, which to me, I'd say buy both. One, hard copy to read and find things in. Not find things in, but understand the rules, because to me, the actual written paper is better. But the e-book version is a great thing so you can do searches. It is wonderful. If you need to look up a rule, you can actually use a search and you probably do a pretty good job in finding what you need to do. Moving onward and forward, when it comes to the SFB Online tournament, we have two tournaments that are coming on right now running, which is the Sapphire Star 18 tournament. The final game has been set. That's going to be Metadog and Nazini versus Bill Scheller in the Klingon. That is going to be a very classic fight between the Xenian and the Klingons. So definitely, I think that's going to be a good game. You got both of them have scatter packs, so that should make things even more interesting with all the drones that will be on the board. On the other tournament, of course, we have the one I've been talking about for at least 2 weeks now, which is the 500 BPV tournament. We got things set. They got the trees announced. Actually, I want to talk to Jeff about that. He wants me to put that up actually on the website. I'm not sure if he wants to do that or not. But anyway, I'm planning to offer anyway. He announced it, and we are starting forward with the matches. Actually, we already have one game already started. They've already gotten past, I think they got 2.5 turns in, which is awesome, because one thing we will know for this tournament, the 500 BP tournament, because it's such a large map, it's going to be first turn is definitely going to be just closing. Second turn, that's when things will start getting a little more interesting, because we actually get into weapons range. Or close enough to actually be worth the cost of firing, energy cost it is. Moving on and forward to the online client stuff, I got a new Linux machine, which I actually the Windows machine, but I'm gonna put Linux kind of on it. I'm probably gonna have an external drive, so I can still use it as Windows machine when I want to use it. It was cheap, cheap computer with 8 gigs of RAM, something relatively slow. Doesn't have to be super fast, so that's what I did. Also, I started setting up the Windows box, the real Windows box, which actually has the power. Ooh, lots of power. I got the VNC server set up, because it's the machine's remote. It's not in this office. It's in my daughter's room. And I'm gonna be connecting to that, and so I need to install things, and then hopefully, at that point, I will be able to now create the new actually Windows installers, which have been waiting for quite a few months, and I apologize for not getting back to that. Just didn't know exactly when the computer was going to be available so I actually could do all that stuff. At least the first stuff, which is installing the VNC server. Moving on one forward to the library report, we have actually, since last week, I actually did check out the Lyran PFs, and they were all just updates, which is great. Because updates, I just have to put the files in place, upload them, and we're done. If it's actually new conversions, then I have to do more work to actually add it to the actual list of ship, make sure it has a counter, and all this kind of other things. But that's done. The PFs and also the BCH, all those are now updated and uploaded and fixed for, I'm assuming, it's mainly for the 500 BPV tournament, possibly also for Frank's campaign. When it comes to the FedCom library, FedCom library has no updates. So with that is the news for this week. And it's me, yes, the one and only Pal Friends, welcoming you to Star from the Universe On Call. And tonight, we have Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
And we have me. Don't have Jeff's probably on the road somewhere, and Gary's probably busy, whatever Gary is busy doing. That's one thing I wanted to do last week, and I forgot to re-up it this week, which I wanted to talk about what was some of the things that Gary's posting about the Nicosians. But that's fine. I need to get back to that anyway and re-review it anyway. And review what the Nicosians are. Because I know actually one time long ago, because it was module, it's R 107, I think it is. Or it might be E107. E, because it's a play test. That was published, and actually I do have a copy. I have an ebook copy of that module. So I want to look at that some more when it occurs before I actually get back and discuss that. But in the meantime, we're actually going to go back to the 500 BPV tournament. Just quick note, maybe have a little discussion just because of two things happened. Actually, two things happened. Okay, number one, I did talk to Jeff and noted one thing, which I noted, which I'm sure that I pointed out last week, which is about the Wild Wizards and Suicide Shuttles, because they weren't allowed until Y-184. And I just talked to Jeff about that and went, you know, in theory, I'm not supposed to have them, but given that we're playing this in a tournament setting, I feel like that should be allowed. And he agreed, you know, that definitely he did not plan on, but he just wanted, I told him, well, if you could just announce that just to make sure that it is clear to everyone playing in the tournament that this is the case. Because as noted earlier, the Saturians didn't come into the galaxy until Y-182. But we're playing with 180 rules. You know, those are the ships and what things apply. Well, certain things weren't there for the Saltorians in Y-182 even. Also, number two, which is one thing that Gary emailed me about. And I looked at it and went, oh, crap. I know I talked about switching one of my heavy cruisers to being a survey cruiser. Problem. It's a conjectural ship. It was never built. So, given that, and given that the rules for the tournament explicitly say no conjectural ships, I didn't approach Jeff about it. I went, you know, I think I'm valiantly asking for Saturn to be added. But I think pushing it so that I could get a conjectural ship in, I think that to me was feel like I was gonna be pushing it just a little too much. So I dropped it. I went, okay, I'm just gonna stick with the fleet I got. Now,
so are you gonna have a space control ship instead?
I wish. But that's not allowed, because remember, space control ships are normally based off Dreadnought, size class 2. No size class 2 are allowed in the tournament. So, minor issue. Now, one thing that did happen, and I don't... Justin's not... is starting to tick me off. In that he's going off on these rants. I think it's one rant. The one rant basically was about the map, and Peter was recommending maybe for next turn we'll change the map. And then basically what I did tonight, I said, okay, I posted, like, look, for simple. When it comes to the map, remember one thing and one thing only. This is the first time we are running this tournament. Next time we run this tournament, the rules will change. We will learn what we need to adjust. Either the setup is going to be changed or the rules are going to be changed. One of those two will definitely happen with the next one. Period. There's no expectation that it will be exactly the same, exact same rules, exact same setup. Still might be BPV, still have the, you know, commander's options, still have possibly all of the empires that are there, possibly even add more. You know, I'm hoping Andromedans, you know, that'd be nice. And you know, if you have one of the force, the Andromedans has to have one mothership, that's fine. Okay, I'll have one mothership. I mean, a large amount of ship. I'm not talking about like an intruder, versus, in theory, the Conquistador is a mothership. It has one, because it actually had one satellite on, like Cobra size satellite ship inside it. So, personally, I would rather have an intruder than the Conquistador, just because of it can take more damage. That's plain and simple. It has one more TR beam, heavy TR beam, but that's beside the point. Anyway, another thing that I just wanted to mention, which is because of Justin is being slow and announcing the command options, I swear that I almost think he's doing it on purpose. I know he's busy with the other tournament too. I understand that. But it seems like he wants to know everyone else's commander's options so he can optimize his ship, you know, but whatever. Jeff said nope. He won't tell Justin his ships, you know, his opponent's ships yet. And that's until he puts forth his commander's option. He knows the empire he's running against, which is a federation. But, you know, he hasn't. I think it's federation. Let me just double check it. Make sure I got that right. Hold on. Let me do one thing, which is I forgot. I upgraded my browser right before the. And that's going to be here. Of course, that's going to say, oh, HTTPS. No, it's not. Okay, there. And bah, bah, bah. Where is it? Oh, there it is. Mine. Okay, don't mind me. Mm-hmm. Let's look at if it's here. Not there. How about there? No, it's not there. Okay, let me go. I know it's here. I should have just done that. Which is... There it is. No. No, I don't see it here. I know it's... I mean, I'm trying... I know it's on... the discussion board. Okay, not this one. It should be this one. No. I know he announced the matchup. There it is. The tree is that Metal Dog Federation. He's playing Federation versus Vandor's Romulans. So really? We know the Romans are going to have Sabos. We know the Romans are going to probably have T-bombs and the when it comes to the commander's options, you know, and come on, Federation, yeah, you got the Romulans. What are you going to do with the Romulans? You know they have cloaking devices, which means, and you know they're not going to be having attrition units because they can't. What else do you need to know? So, don't know what's going on there. But, getting back to, because of that, basically, Jeff's been sending out personal emails to each of the team captains, except for Justin and his opponent. I swear, he's looking for every single advantage he can get. Pain. Instead of just playing without, everyone else is playing by the rules, and we're not trying looking for any advantages. You know, I'm not sure where his head is. But anyhow, we got our Rick, who's the person I'm playing against, got to see what I got, and I got to see what he's got. Now, big surprise. Actually, it's not that big of a big surprise. Here's the thing. These are not the greatest ships in the world. The Federation, Rick, chose to have 5 destroyer pluses. They're both all worth 94 points apiece. Now, to me, the destroyers aren't that good. They really are not. These, let me see if I can bring it up here. Oops, not that. Okay. Do this. I wanted to bring up the tools and this. And then what I want to do is bring up Federation. See if this, how this lasted. Okay. That's, and then we have. This has a plus refit. And plus refit is what? Or the labs, 4 of the labs are replaced with AWRs. Big surprise there. But let me do this. Oops. You know what I forgot to do? I forgot to bring that up. Don't mind me. I forgot to join my own Twitch chat room. Forgive me. But as you can see, obviously, if you're on Twitch, you can actually see this. Which is, let me just, this is, okay, those phaser threes were added. Right. Okay, I think the phaser threes were added. But the Federation Destroyer overall, to me, is a very underpowered ship. Because of you've got 15? Yeah, 15 center warp. It's got 4 impulse. And with the plus refit, it now has 4 AWR. So overall, that's 19 warp and 4 impulse, so a total of 23 points of energy. With, was it just 2 batteries. Now, it's got 4 full-time torpedo tubes. Which to me, that means to me, most probably he will not be overloading the suckers. It's fine for fleet battles to a certain degree in my mind because of it's 4 photon torpedoes. It's probably going to be mostly long-term fire, long-range firing is the way I see it. Possibly even prox photons. I just, which you might be doing. So reminds me, I'm just gonna put that over here. What the heck? Here. Let me log in. I'm just gonna go to single player mode so I'm not logged into any, so no one sees me. So I can, at the very least, all I wanna do is look at the charts. Charts, give me the weapons charts. 4, heavy weapons, photon. The prox torpedoes are 4 points. They're 1-4 to hit at range 9-12, 1-3 at 13-30. So, to me,
how many of those does he have altogether?
How many what?
How many of those does he have?
He has 5 destroyers. So he has a total of 20 photons.
Wow.
Yeah. Which definitely leads me to believe that what he's going to be doing.
Fighting you.
Yeah, he wants to keep me at range. Now, obviously, the tough part about this, now that in theory, he can do a Kaufman retrograde. If it does a Kaufman retrograde, it's gonna be fun. Because I'm gonna have to just not charge anything. Fortunately, I can do that. And rush in on him. Hopefully.
Well, here's the thing about the Kaufman retrograde.
Also,
it's a good theory if you have an unlimited open map.
Right.
I've played it, and it can be beaten. So, and the problem is, you end up with your forward shields in a position where you can't turn them away easily if you want to disengage necessarily.
Yep.
So, but you're also on a, even though it's larger, it's still a fixed map.
Very true.
So, it's highly probable that, in my opinion, smart thing for him is if he wants to do the long range sniping and, you know, just focus fire everything on you on one ship, he'll probably not use his phasers. He'll probably be firing proxies because he's probably has eight. I can't see you at the moment, so he'll probably have AW with the AWR on those things.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of destroyer? Are they the war destroyers?
No, regular destroyers. You know, single saucer, one engine.
Are they fully refitted with AWR?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, he might even like just keep one on a 1 point charge holding on as a standard for each of them and just come in and fire two or three as a mass volley from each ship all at once. Or even all four, potentially, because if he's not overloading them, he'll be able to keep you at range a good deal. And turn away. And then come back and turn away.
Yep.
Run away for a turn, turn back, fire, focus fire on the same ship until that goes down. Because if he's got five of those things, that's 20 of them. If he hits, statistically, that's 10 of them. That's 40 on whatever shield he hits. But if he starts spending phasers with them and wants to recharge them, well, that's going to kind of suck up his power then, and he might end up slowing down a bit.
Agreed.
So, who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, even if he just clips, if he clips overload range and gives you 20 partially overloaded photons, that's devastating. Because he could still run away afterwards.
Yep.
And yeah, if he's clipping range 8, then that's good enough to throw a bunch of phasers in, too. And not worry about reloading them while running away.
Yeah. Yeah, the obvious thing is, as pointed out, even though it's a large map, he does have limited space. He can't be doing... He has to go forward to retrograde, basically. So the question in that case comes is, will he do a retrograde? You know, because I probably need to talk to Jeff about this, which is, given that this is tournament, will there be rules about non-aggression? Because I don't think that was any. Let me just double check. I'm pretty sure there's no rules about non-aggression. Let me just.
But he's also running destroyers. Those are small units.
Right.
And you could mess them up pretty easily.
Agreed. And that's one thing that's I most probably will be having to do, which is, at the very least, spend some of my power on EW to try to offset, you know, the prox photons. Obviously, he could spend it on. He could do the same thing and spend it on ECCM. You know, and
does he have any scouts?
Nope, no scouts. Neither of us have scouts.
Well, here's the thing. One of the problems with ECM is he can counter it, and if you change it, then he can wait and change it and counter it.
Right.
Neither of you is going to get an advantage out of that. Which is not a bad thing.
Yeah, because
he's got five small units.
Right.
And you've got, what is your force again?
Two destroyers and two heavy cruisers.
Okay. And how many total in your fleet for your heavy weapons?
I have, when it comes to my particle cannons, I have, let me think. 12.
Okay. And how many shield crackers do you have?
That I have to look at. Okay. I mainly have to look at the destroyer. Because I know that the CA has two. The destroyer has
you've got
a piece.
Two CAs, right?
So I have a total of six shield crackers.
Okay, and they do how much at range 10?
That's, it should be.
What's their max range?
Range 10, they do four.
And that is that their max range again?
That's their max range.
Okay, so you got 10 of those, you could do up to 40 points of damage to any particular ship. Now, granted, it's only a shield, but that's like goodbye shield,
right?
And you could force a turn, and if you're doing 50% hit, that's 20, and on the destroyer, that's goodbye to a shield.
Yeah, the key thing here is if he decides to load his photons as prox torpedoes, he can do that while we're at distance. But if I start to close, as in within range 8, he can't fire it. He has to make sure he has standard torps available. Because otherwise he can't fire anything. He can't fire those at me. He just has his phasers at that point.
Right. Well, here's the thing. You don't know what his plan is.
Correct. I'm
he's
sure
he's going to come in with proxies. He's going to probably fire them right at the range 15 clip and turn away.
Actually, 12. The break off, 1 to 4 is to hit with proxies, is 9 to 12. From 13 to 30, it's the 50% chance.
Oh, in that case, hell, he might hit you at range 30.
Right.
And I wouldn't, which is a perfectly valid tactic, because he could hit you at range 30 on an oblique attack, turn away, run away, reload, and turn back. And in the time that it takes you to close, you know, maybe half a dozen hexes on him for his second shot, he'll get a second shot in you with proxies. And on a very large map, he might be able to do that 3 times, 4 times. If you let him do the right circle around the enlarged fishbowl,
yep.
Then, you know, he could do that all day, potentially.
Understood. But
it's still a fishbowl, it's just a bigger one.
Right. And there is a point where You're
technically it's not non-aggression, because if he's pumping
right
20 photons at you every two turns, you know, take it for what you will. He might decide to pick on one particular ship and just keep at it until he gets it crippled or something.
Oh, agreed. If he fired all 20 of the photons and half of them hit, that's 40 points of damage. That right there's a crippled destroyer right there.
Not really crippled. I mean, you're going to lose your shield and take a bunch of internals.
Yeah,
it's hurt.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's a 20 box shield number one. That means 20 internals.
Yeah.
It's not quite crippled, but.
Yeah. And if you have reinforcement and batteries, then that's even not as bad.
Mm-hmm.
If you do the ECM thing, the problem with the ECM is it cuts down on your ability to get close to them.
Right.
So.
But also,
it might cut down on his ability to hit you, but then he can just spend the points to get into it. As a matter of fact, you might actually have an ECM advantage. Now that I think about it, because of the pure power curve on the cruisers.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're not too concerned about anything else, you just want to get really close, you could spend the 6 points to defend. You know, spend all the points to defend to force him to spend, you know, the points to cut through it.
Yep.
And that's gonna hurt him on the smaller units.
Yep, that would be the idea. And of course,
the biggest problem that you have is that he's got a tremendously good range thing.
Right. I have to, erratic maneuvering costs is 3, because we can use EM. And for me, it behooves me, because my PCs really don't do much damage until they get closer in, like range 15. That's when they have a 1-4. Okay, let me just look at this. No. I'm looking at disruptors. At range 15, they have a 50% chance of doing 3 points of damage. At range 15. So I wouldn't want to fire out at range 30. If I'm getting to range 30, I want to be using erratic maneuvering at that moment in time. And if I need to, I can also use ECM to protect myself so I can get in closer. And if he wants to try to cut through that, it's going to cost him quite a bit of power and definitely slow him down greatly. So that's one thing I got to look at is our beginning positions and the distance. Where do we start? Because my assumption, for the most part, and I think this is a valid assumption, which is on the first turn, most of our turn is going to be spent, especially given our two, he has no drones.
Yeah, just play the music. Da, 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 da.
That's all he's going to be doing.
While you close.
So we have purely direct fire versus purely direct fire. That's what we've got here.
How far apart do you start?
That's the one thing I need to check. Because, okay. Okay, I'm not worried about timelines or schedule. I'm worried about scenario setup. Okay. Four maps will be used. Force A will be start on map number 1, 3 hexes of 0306. So it's upper right corner. And then Force B will be on map 4 on 4024. Now, On SMB land, there are single hex grids, 60 hexes by 84. So the map number 4 is actually, should be 8254. So why don't we do this? And that's going to be, give me a calculator. Where's my utilities? That's it. Range tracker. Add position. I can call it crap. Let's close this because I need the first. I need to change board size. But it's going to be 84 by 60. So go to range tracker, add, and then add a position. And that's going to be, what's 0306.
Hey, hello, Zinni.
Hi, this is your local Zinni.
Being a pain. Here, you stay close.
And the other position is 8254, pretty distance. So start at a range of 88.
Wow.
I know, that is this.
That what? Weapon status 3?
My assumption is weapon status 3. Let me just take a look, see. Da-da-da. I hope that'll change in the future. Weapon status 3. All ships are set speed max, big surprise. Heading at the option of the owning team, all ships by one team must start with the same heading. The map is fixed and does not float. And any ship which disengages in any direction, any other direction, Force A must disengage by exiting map from zero.
From their side, basically.
Right. Right.
Anything else is destroyed, yeah.
Yep. And no terrain will be used. I'm hoping in the future that will change. Personally, Justin made a mention of this, which I would like to see it.
Like 35.
What's that? I'm sorry.
Maximum lock range, is that like 35?
35, yep. Which means...
I remembered that.
Yep.
haven't looked at a rule book in... Geez, since... Yeah. 2019.
I was going to say, wow, it's been that recent, huh? That's only six years ago. Recent.
No, 2019. Yeah.
Yeah, it's 6 years ago.
Yeah. Yep, that's when I lost all my SFP stuff. So, but wow. So Max, you're starting at like more than double the lock distance.
Right. So, geez, probably like the. First two.
You could use cruise missiles in that. Because any player could theoretically use cruise missiles on that with the right boat.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, the drone bombardment. The problem with that, if I recall correctly, was that was one of the things that you couldn't use. That was one of the rules you can't use. It was a drone bombardment. I have to double check. I'm looking. I could have sworn I saw.
Doesn't matter. Focus on what you need.
Right.
Because it doesn't apply to you guys.
Very true. Yeah, because what was it? Where was it about when it comes to fleet selection?
Oh, by the way, Barry had a question I couldn't answer because I don't have the SSD or the tournament rules.
Uh-huh.
and I just wanted to throw this out there in case he listens in later.
Mm-hmm.
Or you at least know to answer the question this mm-hmm. weekend if he remembers to ask.
Yeah.
He wanted to know if the Fed's in the tournament, if the Fed tournament cruiser had a drone rack.
Has a G-rack, yes. I actually did talk to Barry. We actually chatted in the past week. And I told him yesterday.
I had forgot.
That they in the past few years, they added a G-rack to the Federation cruiser. Now, the one thing I told him was that I don't remember exactly the loadout, but if I'm called correctly, I think it was like two standard Type 1F drones. Sorry, Type 1M drones, medium speed, speed 20, as is for the tournament, and had four ad rounds.
You're welcome, Barry, if you listen in on this podcast, since your question has already been answered.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah. I'm going to see if I can. Actually, I definitely can't work on this weekend. Wish I could. Maybe I can do it on Sunday night. I want to see if I can get a release out of the client, because of there's certain things that were fixed in the client that people need to have. In some cases, you can't save a game. You can get around it if you know what to do. Can't save a game. The filters. One of the filters does not work. Now, the one thing I probably should announce is that I should go through this, because of there actually is for the actual counters on the screen, there actually are filters you can put in place to hide things. You can have it so that, it doesn't all of the point of turn, point of slip counters go poof, and you don't see them. You can hide them and show them. You can do that for seeking weapons. You can decide to hide all the seeking weapons. I just want to see the ships. I don't want to see the seeking weapons. So you can show or hide those. That's one thing I just thought about. Thinking, I probably should announce to people that these features are available, and for fleet battles, these are kind of things that you might want to use, because I think they might be useful to people when they're actually flying fleets. Because normally in tournament battles, you don't want to do that kind of stuff. But that's one of those things that I will definitely want to announce. Now, as I said, I'd like to have it so that I can get it, at least I can work on it. The problem is, see, the biggest issue always with the putting out a release, it takes quite a long time to actually build the release, put it out there, do all the things I need, including writing up what are the things that have changed in this release. Make sure I put it over on the Windows system. I create a Linux installer. I make a Mac OS installer. I make a Windows installer. They're all three different things and require at least two different boxes. And the one I have to work on the Mac OS. I have to work on that. So I'm hoping to do that. But in the meantime, I just wanted to look at this, and erratic maneuvering, which is C10. I just want to look at something real quick, which ECM effect. Okay, that's what I'm going to find out. It produces 4 points of ECM. Okay, that's what I want to find out.
However,
of course, the thing is,
there an interference between the two? Like, instead of being able to do 6 points or 5 points, you can't do regular ECM on top of it.
Yes, you can. Because the engine. 4 points of ACM is counts as a natural source, not within the self-generating or receiving from lending limits.
Okay.
So, in theory, if I want to really protect myself, which I don't think I'll go this crazy, then definitely for the first turn, I don't think anybody's going to allocate anything to ECM because there's no point. You're spending most of the time just closing in on each other. You know.
Well, the thing is, if you're closing on each other at speed 25, for instance, each.
Right.
That's 50 hexes.
Right. Which means you'll be around 30 hexes.
Yeah.
And the question is, how fast will he be going?
Yeah, who knows?
I don't know. So, now, yeah, that's it. Okay, this ECM also applies both to the receiving of direct fire on the one that's doing rag maneuvers, but also it applies 4 points of ECM on any direct fire weapons fired by the unit using ECM. Mm-hmm.
You're hosing yourself.
But I thought that you might not be able to fire your weapons. But yes, you can.
Oh, no, you can. It just sucks.
Right. You just can't use transporters, scout systems, web generators, status field generators, big surprise there, maulers, labs, ESGs, tractor beams, pacifier control, or webcasters for normal web.
Yeah, you give up a lot.
Yeah.
And the one issue with it is it's one of those you have to announce you're coming out of it things.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's patient, he can just wait for you to come out of it and then shoot you.
Right. But the point of erratic maneuvering to begin with is to allow you to get in closer range without him firing at you.
Well, there's that, and there's also it's a defense mechanism if you're trying to disengage or get away.
Right. That's very true too. Survival. When it comes to that.
More than one purpose to it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, let's double check some pretty initiating K. Starting him given can only begin once per turn. Okay, the pair only has paid the energy cost for EM. Announcement of impulse 32 takes effect the next turn. Requires a power to be allocated, intervening, of course, fixed price. Stopping up and a player owning performing EM may during any impulse at appropriate sequence announce that he will stop in at the end of that impulse, regardless of what portion of the term has elapsed. Any energy paid for EM is lost in there, and the unit cannot return to EM until the next turn. Okay, no problem there. Okay, sequence of play. The point at which the option announced it adoption or dropping the specific designated is the final movement action stage. Okay, so that's before anything else occurs after. It's after movement, but before anything else happens, basically. This announcement may be made on any impulse, whether or not the unit in question actually moved on that impulse. Okay. For additional restrictions and clarifications.
Yeah.
Involuntary cancellation due to D22.53. For those of you who don't know what that rule is, that is balance due to damage.
Uh-huh.
Energy balance due to damage.
Is that a rule you guys are using?
No. Oh. I would not want to do that. In case. Right. Starts during. Okay, there it is. During the direct. During the direct fire weapons damage resolution, a player may announce that his ship is canceling impulse. Right. Using it does not. No. It must pay. Ooh. That's one thing to remember. For those of you who play with electronic warfare, that is, if a unit using EM does not announce in the final movement action stage of Impulse 32 that he is ceasing EM, it must be paid for. They must pay for EM for the next turn in the EA phase. Note, it is appropriate to ask if M is being dropped at this point, as it's not a secret, and asking will avoid arguments. Which makes sense. A player has paid the cost of M, okay, during a stage 6-4-A-4, and Impulse announced the unit will begin EM in the post-combat segment at the end of the Impulse. So basically, you announce starting EM after movement. It doesn't take effect until the very, very end of that impulse. Oh, that sorry, that segment. No, that impulse. So if someone hears that, I'm starting erratic maneuvering, they can fire at you then, and then your EM actually takes effect after they've fired their weapons at you. If you're within, if you're close enough, obviously. So, EM is definitely a good thing to use. That's a question. Let me see. It is. Oh, I know this one is not. Movement cost is 3, which means rack maneuvering costs 6 points of movement. Okay, so, and there is one to look at one other thing, which was Federation. And again, this, and I want to see, okay, is this, or is it not? No, it is not. I was making sure that this wasn't classified as a nimble ship. Didn't think it was, but, I don't want to be caught off guard on something like that, because nimble ships, the thing with nimble ships, for those of you in the know,
you get a bonus.
Yeah. And if I call correctly, I might be wrong on this. Yeah, the reduced cost on redact maneuvers.
Fed destroyer is definitely not nimble.
Yeah.
So, as a matter of fact, doesn't it have a horrible breakdown reading too?
That would not surprise me at all.
Is it a 4-6?
3-6, yeah.
3-6, there you go.
Heck, the Seltorn's even better than that. There's a 4-6. Dang. Okay, well, obviously, the one thing that is kind of obvious to all here is that EM will play a part in this battle. Like that. My guess, that's going to happen in every single battle. The way I see it.
You mean for you, at least?
Well, for me, and I think I can't imagine, especially on, because the big issue, obviously, with this tournament, is, is it here? I think it was here. Yeah, there it is. 3 out of the 8 forces is Federation. Now, here's the one thing I don't know. I don't know what the makeup of the other Federation players are. I would love to know myself, just out of curiosity. Because of our, is just Justin's or Ed, their Federation, are they using drones and relying more on seeking weapons and less on heavy weapons? Or are they going to do what Rick did, which is rely, looks like, obviously, it's relying heavily on heavy weapons. And it's going to be interesting in that the amount of the power curve of those ships. Yes, they have 23 points of power, which is only because they have it's a plush refit that they applied. So they have a total of 19 points of warp. And to charge all the photons, just at standard, because I'm assuming that I will probably never see a single overload photon in the entire battle, is my guess. Just because of, it's expensive as all get out. But 8 points of power, 8 points of warp for two turns. So 8 points of power, so 23 minus 8 is 15. 15, he can still go pretty fast with that. 15, so that's 15 minus 4? Yeah, minus 4. That's standard.
Are you sure about that?
I'll double. Pretty sure it's 4. Yeah. 1 for life support, 1 for full shields, and then it's been a while since I've actually done anything but tournament, because everything is 4 in that. Yeah. And I forgot the other 2 is 4. Maybe 2 is for full shields. Oh yeah. 2 is for 4 shields. 1 is for fire control, and 1's for life support. That's it.
Well, what I was wondering is, does he have a lower life support cost?
Yeah, that was the one thing I was wondering about too. I have to double check. But let's just say for the moment, let's say it's 4 points.
Yeah, I mean, you could check the rules for the ship and see what those costs actually are. But yeah, he's going to have the ability to move in the mid 20s.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Yep. Mid to upper. And that assumes that he's not going to charge any special shuttles. No suicides, no wild weasels.
Well, you almost couldn't, if he wants to do a speed battle, yeah, it's, I wouldn't see him doing that. So.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. That's going to, that's going to be the real question, is what is his plan? Because definitely, I'm assuming that the first turn that he's going to want to get out of the corner. You know, if he wants to sit there, he can sit there. You know, and of course, here's the interesting part, that if it comes to this, if I ever get some, if he does that and I get something close and I tractor him, I can basically force him to disengage. If he gets pushed off the map, he's disengaged. So he's gone. Without firing a single weapon at him, I can actually get him, I can force him to disengage.
Oh, that's so meta.
Hey, that's the way this tournament works. Now, that's going to be pretty tough to do, because most probably, my guess, he's going to build a super stack. That's my guess, the way he's going to fly this. Every single ship
that's the best way to do most fleet battles. That whole echelon thing for the ISC is BS. It's divide your forces so you can get beaten easier. Most of the time, you're going to want to concentrate your fire the most that you can. You're only going to have a gun line if you're deliberately trying to draw fire.
Right. Well, that was the whole idea with Echelon, which was that to get to the main ships, you have to get through the smaller ships.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but let's not get started on that. That's a whole...
Oh.
That could be a whole hour by itself.
Yeah, agreed. So agreed.
We're trying to focus on your thing.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah, charge in, get real close. You'll find out pretty quick if he's going to do photons and try to circle and kite you.
Right.
And if he does, that's okay, because, hey, look, if you can get into a decent range, that second shot with your particle cannons is... a really, really good thing.
Yep.
Because you might not cripple one of his destroyers on your first volley, but you'll cripple it and maybe take it out on your second if you get the down shield again.
Exactly.
If you hit him with, if you can get close enough to use those web breakers, or the shield breakers, I'm sorry.
Shield crackers.
That's huge. The shield crackers, that's huge. That's tremendously huge.
Yeah, especially considering they cost absolutely nothing to hold.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think your plan is probably going to be something like clip range 10. Come out of your EM at range 10. And... you know, pick one ship, give them all of the shield crackers. Do they come first?
Yes.
Like before all other weapons?
Yep. They that happens during the boarding party actions.
Okay. And because here's a radical thought for you. You go in, you clip that at range 10. You focus fire everything on one ship. You could blow it up.
Mm-hmm.
You might be able to blow up one of his destroyers. Just on average rolls. And that's a fifth of his firepower.
Yep.
And at that point... that's when you start your EM and turn away at high speed. Because if you get to range 10 and he hasn't fired at you, he's coming in with standards and possibly partial overloads. On the other hand, you know, if he doesn't shoot at you at range 13 plus... in that longer range bracket, and you're getting closer and closer to range 30, there's a better and better chance that you're not going to be taking 20 proxies. So that's just something to be aware of.
Yep. Yeah, that's going to be...
you can take a little bit of a beating.
Yep. That's going to be the interesting part about closing in. And that if I have EM going, the question comes to being is if there's enough ECM being generated where he doesn't think he has a chance. There's no reason to fire even Prok's torpedoes. The problem at that point for me is that, is he holding Prok's torpedoes, or is he actually just waiting for me to get closer and has standards charged?
Yeah, well, you know, you could get into the 30 bracket and do a midterm speed change. And instead of doing all the ECM tricks and the EM trick going closer to him, you could just reinforce some shields and see if you can draw his fire. There's a thought.
Yeah. But then that brings up the other thought, which is, do I want to, especially when it comes to the destroyers, can get a lot of damage, even just with 50% hit possibilities. Now remember, that means that's average. That means it could be greater or it could be lesser. More importantly, it could be greater.
Yeah, but over the course of 20 die rolls, you're probably looking at average.
Right. Agreed. I said, but that's average. There's a possibility, because it is average, he can roll better.
Scared money doesn't make money, Paul, for God's sake. There's a point where you got to say, I'm going to go one way or I'm going to go the other.
Very true.
And we're going to start getting circular on tactics.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I suspect you'll probably find out at range 30 if he's going to do Proxus or not. So you end the first turn, you're going to be in range 30.
True.
If I was on the other side and going to do a Prox tight with you, I would do that at range 30 and turn back.
Mm-hmm.
Because that maximizes my potential. You know, because then I can keep you at a distance where your particle cannons are much less effective.
That's true.
And get another turn of running away in and turn back, and we're probably going to still be in a 20 bracket at worst. You know. And if I cripple one of your ships on that first pass, I could maybe finish it on the second and turn away and come back with standards to be even more dangerous to what's left of your fleet.
Yep.
On the other hand, if he decides that it's weapon status 3, he's just going to hold. Now, bear in mind, you're saying 2 points each for your consideration. It's actually 1 point each.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. You're starting at range 30. Oh, agreed. Paying 4 points to hold.
Yes.
And
oh,
he could do that with standards, too.
Agreed. I'm talking about after, because at some point he's going to fire.
Oh,
after
he
fires, afterwards. Then that's when he starts things getting expensive, especially if he fires every single photon in the ship.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and that's why he's either going to do it out at range 30 so he can maximize keeping the most distance between him and you during his reload turn, or he's going to maybe reinforce some shields, do some midterm speed changes, and try to get in really, really close to see if he can either flip the overload range and then go super slow and just blast the crap out of you, or he's going to flip the range 12 and maybe throw in 20 standards if he has a target that he doesn't have any ECM disadvantage on. So,
mm-hmm.
Just 20 standards could be pretty brutal too.
Yeah. Oh, agreed. So. Agreed. That's why the big question is going to be, how is he going to start? You know.
Well, it's not how is he going to start, because how is he going to start is going to end you guys in a 25-30 bracket, in that range. If you're closing on each other at speed 25, then you're going to knock off 50 hexes of your 80 something. And maybe a little more, maybe a little less. You know, the real question is, does he shoot when he hits the range 30 bracket or not? Because if he doesn't, then he's going to want to close for the next bracket for standards, or he's going to try to, you know, flip that range 8 and try to jackpot with some partial overloads. I mean, the absolute kamikaze way for him would be to try to get as close as possible and then fully overload everything if he can end the turn at range 8. Because then you're going to be looking at him going, oh, we're at range 8 and I've got 16 photons left after you blew up one of my boats. Well, okay, buddy. I'll throw 6 points into ECM and, you know, max overload all my photons. And, if you know, the only thing you're going to do to counter that is maybe erratic maneuvers, but you have to announce that.
Right.
And there you go. Something's going to die that turn.
Very true. Very true.
So, I would say you probably want to avoid letting him get to range 8 on you. But if he does the prox thing, that's not a bad thing, because then you can still focus fire. You know, all your stuff on one guy, and if you get lucky, you'll blow up one of his destroyers. If you get not quite so lucky, then maybe you can finish him off with your second volley. Or you can pick on somebody else and see about crippling or severely damaging a different ship.
Very true. Very true.
Your second volley on the particle cannons. But unless you're getting into the less than 9 bracket, you're probably not going to want to be using phasers much. Just so you can, like, keep your speed up and maneuver on a good shield or overrun him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excuse me. So, there's a thought.
Sure. Well, with that, I think we will end this evening's wonderful discussion about tactics, Celtorian versus a Fed with lots of photons.
Well, Mr. Cotter, there's a hand up in the classroom.
Yes.
Plug, 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 plug.
Go ahead.
Gamers is Saturday. Gamers of Winter 2025 is this Saturday at the Red Lion Hotel in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. It's technically a suburb of Steelton, but basically, considering the size of the area, it's and the fact that they still list it as Harrisburg, well, there you go.
But, understood. Yeah.
Right off the turnpike.
Yes, it is.
It's like an exit away from the turnpike off of a highway.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you come down from Baltimore. Well, if you come up from Baltimore or down from Philly or basically wherever that's a reasonable drive for you, it's right off the highway. It's right off the belt around Harrisburg. So.
Yep, yep.
And it's actually closer to the turnpike than it is to the city limits of Harrisburg.
Exactly. That's it. That's usually how I go. It's like I take the turnpike to the exit, basically for the airport, the Harrisburg airport. And just go straight, get off the next exit, and then make a right-hand turn at that stoplight there, and then go past the sheets, and right after past sheets, look to the right, and there is the hotel.
Yeah. And if you're coming up Route 30 or 322, 422, or Route 81 or Route 83, well, there we are. It's pretty much really close to all those. Very Harrisburg true. Is a it's a transportation hub, actually. You know, along with being a state capital, it's at one of those spots where you have that big spokes wheel of roads coming in,
mm-hmm.
and some of those roads are major highways.
Yep.
If you're coming in from Philly or Pittsburgh or where Amtrak comes from, hey, guess what? There's an Amtrak station, and I wouldn't say that you get a bus from there, but geez, maybe somebody would pick you up at the bus station. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yada yada yada. And we're at a hotel that, if you're worried about the weather, you can book a room Saturday night. Or hanging out through Sunday and or Monday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I gotta look at that because.
Oh, and what were you looking at? Were you looking at splitting your time, or were you gonna be there 2 or 3 days?
I plan on being there Saturday and Monday.
Okay.
Because.
All right, I totally forgot to change that on the website. Sorry.
No problem. I just realized that there was a collision of things for Sunday where I definitely need to be here. Whether it's for my
Valentine's Day.
Also the Valentine's Day
is
right. Tomorrow. Yep.
And when all that is over, you can express your love of gaming at gamers. Yep. There you go.
Yep.
You're welcome.
Okay.
And thank you.
You have a good night.
Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. So, I have obviously quite a battle in front of me with all those photons, all those lovely photons. The important thing is I need to blow things up. So, well, this is one of the reasons that in a way I wanted to play Sartorian for nothing else, actually to play it in a fleet context where I feel like the Sartorians have actually a decent chance. One of the main things is that with the Sartorian particle cannons, you have two times you actually can fire it each turn. Obviously 12 impulse delay between the fires. But normally when you're flying in the fishbowl, that is a rare thing that you ever get a chance to do. Because usually after the battle pass and you're just running away and so forth, it's invariably much more difficult. So, but anyway, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.